भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्री शुक उवाच इति प्रसज्य गिरिसौ चित्तकेतुरुरिन्दम जगाम स्वाभिमानेन पश्यतो स्म यतस्तयो. श्री शुकदेव गोस्वामी कंटिन्यूड, ओ किंग परीक्षित, सबड्यूर ऑफ द एनिमी. आफ्टर चित्तकेतु सैटिस्फाइड लॉर्ड शिवा एंड हिज वाइफ पार्वती, ही बोर्डेड हिज एयरप्लेन एंड लेफ्ट एज दे लुक्ड ऑन. When Lord Shiva and Parvati saw that Chitraketu, although informed of the curse, was unafraid, they smiled, being fully astonished by his behavior. Tatastu bhagavan rudro ridanam idamam ravit devarshi daitya siddhanam parashadanam shashrinvatam. Thereafter, in the presence of the great sage Narada, the demons, the inhabitants of Siddhaloka, and his personal associates, Lord Shiva, who is most powerful, spoke to his wife Parvati while they all listened. And now we will do the responsive chant. Shri Rudra Uvacha Drishtavati Asi Shushroni Hare Adbhuta Karmana Mahatmyam Britya Brityanam Nisprihanam Mahatmanam. Shri Ruja Uvacha Drishyavat Yasi Shushroni Harerdad Bhutta Karmanah Mahatvang Britya Brityanam Nishprahanam Mahatmanam. Shri Rudra Uvacha Drishtavat Yasi Shushroni Harerdadbhutta Karmanah Mahatvang Britya Brityanam Nishprahanam Mahatmanam. Shishroni Harerdadbhutta Karmanah Mahatvang Britya Brityanam Nishprahanam Mahatmanam. Shri Rudra Uvacha Drishtavat Yasi Shushroni Bhutta Karmanah Mahatmanam Nishprahanam Mahatmanam. Shri Rudra Uvacha Drishtavat Yasi Shushroni Harerdad Bhutta Karmanah Mahatyam Britya Brityanam Mahatmanam. Ladies, Shri Rudra Uvacha drishtavat yaseishu shroni harir dadbhuta karmanaha mahajvang britya brityanam nishprahanam mahatmanam shri rudra uvacha drishtavat yaseishu shroni harir adbhuta karmanaha mahatyam britya brityanam nishprahanam mahatmanam shri rudra uvacha. Lord Shiva said, drishtavati asi, have you seen Shushroni, O beautiful Parvati, Hare, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Adbhutta Karmanaha, whose acts are wonderful, Mahatmyam, the greatness, Britya Brityanam, of the servants of the servants, Nishprahanam, who are without ambitions for sense gratification, Mahatmanam, great souls. Translation in purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Shiva said, my dear beautiful Parvati, have you seen the greatness of the Vaishnavas? Being servants of the servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, they are great souls and are not interested in any kind of material happiness. Purport. Lord Shiva, the husband of Parvati, told his wife, my dear Parvati, you are very beautiful in your bodily features. Certainly you are glorious, but I do not think that you can compete with the beauty and glory of devotees who have become servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, Lord Shiva smiled when he joked with his wife in that way, for others cannot speak like that. The Supreme Lord, Shiva continued, is always exalted in his activities, and here is another example of his wonderful influence upon King Chittaketu, his devotee. Just see, although you cursed the king, he was not at all afraid or sorry. Rather, he offered respect to you, called you mother, and accepted your curse, thinking himself faulty. He did not say anything in retaliation. This is the excellence of a devotee. By mildly tolerating your curse, he has certainly excelled the glory of your beauty and your power to curse him. I can impartially judge that this devotee, Chittaketu, has defeated you and your excellence simply by becoming a pure devotee of the Lord. As stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Tadarapi Sohishnuna, just like a tree, a devotee can tolerate all kinds of curses and reversals in life. This is the excellence of a devotee. Indirectly, Lord Shiva forbade Parvati to commit the mistake of cursing a devotee like Chittaketu. He indicated that although she was powerful, the king, without showing any power, had excelled her power by his tolerance. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Kamala. Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raghunatanvita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha. So, we can just imagine, actually we can't imagine, how beautiful Parvati must be. Can we imagine? We take the most beautiful girl on this planet, no competition. Even the heavenly planets. Take a beautiful maiden from Brahmaloka, the topmost heavenly planet. Still she cannot compete with Parvati's beauty. But now we are hearing the most amazing, astonishing words. As Prabhupada is explaining Lord Shiva's statement here. That even more beautiful, more glorious, more powerful than Parvati is that devotee who is the servant of the servant of the Lord. This is amazing, amazing information here. So, we have to honestly look at ourselves. Well, how do I see the devotees of the devotees? Do I see them as more beautiful than Parvati? Well, we have to honestly admit we have the vision of a fly. You see? That's the sad reality. You see? If we had the vision of Paramahamsas, we would see these devotees of the devotees. They are more beautiful than Parvati. But we are seeing so many faults. This devotee is that fault, that devotee is that fault. In this way, you see, we are simply like flies looking for sores. We're missing out on so much nectar, actually, because we have not cultivated the proper vision. We're cheating ourselves only, actually. Just imagine if you could constantly be seeing people more beautiful than Parvati at every minute. How enlivening that would be. And actually, they are more beautiful than Parvati, according to Lord Shiva. But we don't see it. You see, we're so dull-headed. We're so dull-headed. We don't see it. So how do we get out of this quagmire, the fly quagmire? How do we get out of it? Well, these purports, Prabhupada's purports, if we take them through the ears, deep, deep, deep into the heart, you see, then Prabhupada will save us from our fly quagmire and make us like the honeybees who can actually see the beauty of the devotees. The trouble is, we hear. But where does it go? Does it come in the ear and it go to the heart? No, it comes in here and it goes out here. That's the problem. We don't hear very well. We don't hear very well. That's the big problem we have. We're dull-headed. What did Prabhupada say? He said, my disciples are like coal. No matter how much you wash them, they are still dirty. Is it? So we have to learn how to hear, really. It all boils down to that one simple thing. We have to learn how to hear. It really boils down to that. Submissively. We throw that word about very casually, so hear submissively. But what does it really mean to hear submissively? It means you take those words deep, deep to the innermost core of your heart. That is submissively. There's no point where there's a block. Is it? That's submissive hearing. It goes all the way in, completely penetrates the heart. That's submissive hearing. Hearing is really the key. It's absolutely the key. Quality hearing, submissive hearing, is the key to success in spiritual life. The key to being a successful preacher, the key to being free of anxiety, the key to going back to home, back to Godhead, is to be able to hear submissively. Prabhupada gives himself as example. He was, at that time, he was a Vaicharande, a pharmaceutical businessman from Allahabad. He had accepted from the very moment of meeting Guru Maharaj, a few moments after meeting him and being defeated by his arguments, he had accepted in his heart. Prabhupada said, practically he initiated me. He was always thinking, I have met such a great saintly personality. Prabhupada accepted him in his heart as Guru. Even if 11 years before Diksha, he had already accepted him as Guru. So now he had an opportunity in the middle of all his business activities. He had the opportunity to come to Vrindavan. There was Braj Mandal Parikram with Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and his disciples. So he had an opportunity. Now he could go and hear Guru Maharaj. It was a very wonderful opportunity. So in the evening times in Braj, instead of nightclubs, they have another type of nightlife there. It is called darshan. Everyone goes for darshan in the evening. No cinema, no. They have the darshan. So in the evening, there was a choice. You could go for darshan or you could go for the pravachan. You could hear Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's discourse. But he was speaking in very, very erudite English, you see. And they are mostly village boys. And he's saying, you know, you know how he preaches. We hear the materialistic deminar cannot possibly stretch to the transcendental autocrat. And there's certainly statements more obtruse than that one. And it's big, big English. You have to get out your unabridged dictionaries to follow what he's talking about. You see. So, mostly they went for darshan. There's only a small handful there hearing the sannyasis, you see. And one pharmaceutical businessman from Allahabad, Vaicharande, sitting there. He said, I would understand or I would not understand, but still I would go on hearing. You see. Even he couldn't comprehend what Guru Maharaj was talking about, but still he would sit and he would hear and hear and hear. And then he was recommended by the Gaudiya Mathapati. Guru Maharaj, we'd like to recommend this Vaicharande for Diksha. Oh, yes. The others go away, but he hears very nicely. You see. I will accept him as my disciple. So Prabhupada said, because I heard nicely, now I can speak nicely. You see. So it's really the absolute key, this hearing, quality hearing, you see. To the how much you become expert in hearing, to that extent and that extent only will you be expert in preaching. So if we want to save the world, the mission that Prabhupada gave us, he told us right here in Los Angeles, become guru and deliver the whole world. Well, that's a pretty big quota, Sankirtan quota. They used to say, well, you have to do so many books before you come back to the temple. And now Prabhupada said, this is your quota, deliver the whole world. It's a big Sankirtan quota. Deliver the whole world. That's what Papa told us. So that means we have to become empowered. Because what we can do, you know, we can't. We can hardly get up in the morning for Mangalarti. It's big delivering the world. But Baba orders us to do that, so we have to become instrumental. As I was explaining yesterday. That means we have to completely purify our heart of all the lust, the anger, the greed, the madness, the illusion, the envy. We completely shoo the bhaktas. You see? Our success in preaching will be according to how much we purify ourselves. Of course, we have to engage in the activities of preaching also, book distribution, harinam, making devotees, etc. But those activities, even if we're very hard, working very hard doing them, they will bear fruit to the extent that we purify our consciousness at the same time. Therefore, this morning program is essential. Therefore, the japa is essential. You can't throw those things away and say, oh, I'll just preach. No. Those things are essential. We have a dual process going on. It's very nicely explained. We actually sing it every morning. Bahir nisingo hridaye nisingo. In the fifth canto of Bhagavatam Purport, Prabhupada explains, he gives a very elaborate definition for these four simple words. It's amazing how Prabhupada can take four little words and expand it into a huge prayer. Bahir nisingo hridaye nisingo. This is how Prabhupada translates those four words. He expands them out. And that, may Lord Nisringadev dwell in my heart, killing all of my bad propensities. That's, you know, hridaye nisingo. May my heart become completely clean so that I can peacefully worship the Lord and bring peace to the entire world. That's Bahir Nisinga. So we have Hridaye Nisinga and Bahir Nisinga. Nisinga within, completely purify my heart, and Nisinga without, make the whole world Krishna conscious, you see. And that's the meaning, he said, of praying. Bahir Nisinga, Hridaye Nisinga. We're praying that I may be purified within and that I can be an instrument for purifying the world, you see. So these things go hand in hand. They actually feed each other. It's very nice. The more you preach, the more you become purified also. And the more you cultivate purification by carefully studying the books, by carefully chanting japa, you become more empowered to preach. So they actually, they enhance each other. So it's a wonderful, wonderful process. The internal cultivation feeds into the external, which feeds into the internal, and just goes on expanding, expanding, expanding Krishna consciousness. This is the great power of Krishna consciousness. It completely conquers everything material. It conquers all the dirt in the heart, and it will conquer the whole world in due course, as predicted by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. Krishna is all-powerful. It's confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will be victory, opulence, extraordinary power and morality. That is my opinion. So we are sitting here with the greatest opportunity in the history of the universe to actually bring about the most amazing paradigm shift the world has ever seen in a Kali Yuga, in the midst of Kali Yuga. We have this incredible opportunity to assist Prabhupada in this most amazingly wonderful mission of Krishnizing the entire world. We're not very competent, but Prabhupada is fully competent. Didn't Lord Ram engage the monkeys in defeating the powerful Rakshasas? So we're Prabhupada's monkeys. So just as those monkeys became empowered, we can also become empowered. Well, how? By our devotion to Prabhupada's lotus feet, our devotion to Prabhupada's mission, by this complete dedication to Srila Prabhupada, then he can act through us. We can be his instruments for making the world Krishna conscious. So, this hearing process is how we become qualified. Therefore, this Bhagavatam class, such an important thing. Daily morning Bhagavatam class. We have to learn how to hear. Take deep, 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 deep drink of this Amrit, the sublime nectar. Let's see what other points. In the previous verse that we read, this was very enlivening. When Lord Shiva and Parvati saw that Chituketu, although informed of the curse, was unafraid, they smiled, being fully astonished by his behavior. Now, Lord Shiva, he's pretty aware of everything. It's like you'd say, well, how could you astonish Lord Shiva? But actually, he was astonished. So we should try to develop such wonderful tolerance following that Chittaketu Marga. Such wonderful tolerance that we can astonish these great personalities who are seeing us. We're being seen by higher authorities. We should act in such a way that they are astonished, actually. That would be our perfection. If we can astonish the higher authorities by our tolerance, by our willingness to accept everything as mercy with an attitude of gratitude and never become discouraged, never become defeated. Another amazing point here is that he was actually more powerful than Parvati. She has a great power to curse, you see. She's very powerful. Personality, Parvati. Her curse is very, very powerful. But Chituketu was more powerful than Parvati by her tolerating that curse. It's a very nice poem. In other words, retaliating, if someone mistreats you and you want to show your strength by retaliating, what are you doing? You're showing your weakness, actually. In the material world, that's how you show your strength. Somebody's offensive, you get back, you see. I'm going to show you my strength. I'll get you back, you see. But not in Krishna consciousness, not in spiritual life. In spiritual life, you show your strength by your... You show that you're more powerful by tolerating that thing, you see. So everybody wants to be powerful. That's our nature. So now we know how to be the most powerful, you see, person by tolerating whatever offenses may be committed against me. I think I deserve worse, much worse. You see. What did Christ say? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Of course, sometimes people take advantage of that meekness. Prabhupada gives that story of the cobra who became Vaishnava. And then all the village children, they're harassing the cobra. Formerly they were frightened to death of the cobra. Now they're harassing him, throwing rocks at him, having great fun, sadistic fun, harassing the Vaishnava cobra. So he was bewildered, what to do? Guru Maharaj, Narad Muni, tell me, what can I do to... They're harassing me. He said, show your hoods, but don't bite. So the devotee, he may, after some time, make a show of strength. if he's being taken advantage of, he may have to show strength also. So how do you know when to show strength and when not to show strength? You see, that's according to time, place, and circumstance. How do you know where to draw the line? Satatang kirtayanto mam. No, wait. Tesham satat, yes. Tesham satat yuktanam bhajatam patipurvakam. To those who were constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them the intelligence how to come to me. So how to know when to be tolerant and when to show strength? That comes by sincere devotion to Krishna. If you're always trying to serve Krishna with full sincerity of attitude, 24 hours a day, you will get the intelligence. Actually, if you really go seriously, you get more than intelligence. Prabhupada told me in one letter, he said it because I used to write Prabhupada so many questions. And he wrote me back, he said, if you will simply engage with full sincerity 24 hours a day in the service of Krishna, then Krishna will personally come and answer your questions. So it's not simply a matter of getting intelligence. If you become pure enough, you actually get Krishna's darshan and he'll personally answer it. That day I'm waiting for him, praying for Prabhupada's mercy. He told me I could do it. And I've been trying for 40 years now. I'm sure it can happen. And I'm just always praying for that mercy, that day when I get pure enough that I have a question, Krishna will say, come personally and say, here's the answer, Sankarshan Das. It'd be great when that happens. It'd be really great. And Prabhupada told me it can happen, so I know it will happen someday. If I keep following Prabhupada, that day will come when Krishna will appear to me. Maybe millions of kalpas, but doesn't matter. I'm going to stay on the pathway until that day comes. But until then, we have the books, we have the purports, we have each other. We can get so many answers just by reading Prabhupada's books. So many answers. Perfect questions, perfect answers. Another way I've experienced, another way to get answers is just preach. You go out for preaching activities and you're sincerely trying to represent Srila Prabhupada and the acharyas, and people inquire from you, it's amazing how Krishna will give you the answers. It's a fact. All of us, all the preachers have experienced that. You put yourself out on a limb for Lord Chaitanya and someone asks a question, and you go, and all of a sudden, boom, there it is. The super soldier says, okay, here it is. And you just repeat it. So it's actually wonderful how we get this reciprocation from Krishna when we try to serve his mission. We try to speak on his behalf. We try to enliven people, to take to this liberating process. It's wonderful, the reciprocation we get. And we have to be careful, though, because we've seen sometimes devotees, they do wonderful preaching, they get fantastic reciprocation, and then it goes to their head, yes, I am great. And then they fall down, you see. We have to be very careful. And this is a cause for fall down, because sometimes by preaching, we get recognition, we get facilities. We have to always keep ourselves very, very humble and realize that I don't deserve any of this, but this is just the mercy of Krishna to engage in his service. That's all. I don't deserve it. We have to always beat our mind with shoes, as Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakura said. In the morning, you beat your mind with shoes 100 times. In the evening, broomstick 100 times, you see. We have to always remember, I am a nonsense rascal. Bus. That's it. Finished. That's me. I'm just a nonsense rascal. But somehow or other, I've gotten this opportunity, you see. We actually can't be proud thinking, well, look, I'm better than all those non-devotees out there. No. We're just fortunate, that's so. I look at them and think, well, if they were a devotee, they'd be a better devotee than me. But I just had, somehow I got this good fortune to become a devotee. But it's Not that I'm better than anyone. I'm just fortunate, that's all. So in this way, we have to always keep ourselves very humble, thinking I'm not anything great. I'm just trying to become Krishna conscious. That's all. Krishna, please help me. Please, Krishna, help me. I'm trying to become Krishna conscious. In that mood of calling out to the Lord, that's how you can actually taste the nectar of the names. But my dear Lord, please, please save me from this fallen condition. I'm so lazy, I'm so lusty, I'm so angry, I'm so puffed up, I'm an illusioned, envious person. Please, please, please save me, my Lord. This is the mood in which one can chant 24 hours a day. This is the mood when you can actually get Nam Ruchi. You see, complete humility. As long as we think, yes, and I'm pretty advanced now, you're on the verge of falling down, Prabhu. You think, yeah, I'm pretty advanced now. So we have to be very, very careful. We've always heard the razor's edge. One little slip, finished. You see. And the most dangerous thing that can cause us to fall down is that Vaishnava parad. We're reading today how these servants of the servants, they're more beautiful than Parvati, they're more glorious than Parvati. And if we see them in some ordinary way, that is very offensive to them. Very offensive. That is the worst thing that you can do, to see a devotee is an ordinary person. That Vaishnava Abharat can completely kill your Krishna consciousness. We have to worship the devotees, actually. Ananda Balai Hare Bhaja Vrindavan Shri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majayaman. Narottam says, ecstatically chant Hare Krishna. Anande bolo hari, bhaja Vrindavan, and worship that holy dham, Vrindavan. And then, worship the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnavas. So every Vaishnava is worshipable. Every Vaishnava. Even Prabhupada, of course there are different grades of Vaishnavas. There's pure devotees, there's sattvic devotees, rajasic devotees, tamasic devotees. But they are all respectable personalities. Even the tamasic devotees who are arrogant and proud and offensive, who we don't want to associate, we don't want to get polluted by all their offensive language. There are such devotees. Just like there's some devotees, they have that magazine, Back to Prabhupada. It's just nothing but blasphemy of the gurus of ISKCON. So we're these kind of devotees we avoid because they're full of blasphemy. Described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, devotees in the mode of ignorance. We avoid them, but at the same time we respect them. Well, at least they're chanting Hare Krishna, distributing Prabhupada's books, some of them are. So we have some respect for them. Even though we know it's not good association, they're full of so many blasphemous things. The point is that we respect everyone. Even a little ant is respectable. We all know the story of Mrugari the hunter. Most of us know. He had been a hunter. Not an ordinary hunter, but very sadistic, as trained by his father. You kill the animals half dead and enjoy them writhing in agony as they slowly die. What a sadistic training he had gotten from his father. Horribly sadistic training he has gotten. So Narad Muni, he was coming to the forest. He saw this. What is this fellow doing? He's killing the animals half dead and then watching them die in agony and laughing sadistically. What is this nonsense? He said, kill them all the way. He went, Narad Muni saying, kill all the way? How could he say such a thing, Narad Muni? It was actually a preaching tactic.
He was able to develop some faith in the heart of Mrugeri, in him as guru, as teacher. And then he said, all right, now break your bow. Give up this nonsense completely. Break my bow? How will I eat? Do not worry. I will see that all your eatables come. You simply, your wife, you worship the Tulsi, and you'll have no problem. And it happened. Everyone came. Oh, Mrugeri the hunter has become a sadhu, a saintly Vaishnava. Oh, let us go and have darshan. See this great transformation. And everyone would bring, that is the custom. When you go to see a saintly person, you don't come empty-handed. You bring fruits, you bring flowers, you bring rice, so many things. Dal, vegetables, milk. So they're bringing everything. He has unlimited facility to take care of bodily and soul together and to simply absorb in Krishna consciousness. So, Narad Muni, his Guru Maharaj, he's coming in not on American Airlines, but on Vaikuntha Airlines with his sidekick, as we say in Texas, Parvat Muni. They're coming in. Let's see how my disciple Mrugeri is doing. So, what do you do when you see your spiritual master? Immediately, dandavats, you see. But is he doing dandavats immediately? No. What's wrong? Oh, he's seeing some ants in the way. He's carefully picking up those little ants so he doesn't hurt a little ant, you see. So this is Vaishnava. Even if he's a sadistic killer, now he's become Vaishnava, even a little ant is respectable. So if even a little ant is respectable, how much any human being is respectable? And if any human being is respectable, how much anyone who's chanting Hare Krishna becomes respectable, you see? So this is Krishna consciousness. So if we always have this respectful attitude towards all living entities, and especially those who are chanting, and especially those who are, and especially those who are purely serving Srila Prabhupada's mission, they are the ones described here who are more beautiful, more glorious than Parvati. If we have this proper respect, you see, then we'll never fall down from Krishna consciousness. Because we'll have taste. When we chant Hare Krishna, we will relish. You see. Do you know how much nectar there is in these two syllables, Krishna? We don't know. We do not know. Rupa Goswami has given us some very nice verse to help us understand. Tunde tandamani vriteng vitanute tundavali labdiye karna krodha kadamani gatayate kunarvide vraspraham cheta prangana sangani vijayate sarvendriyanam kritim no jane janita kriyadvi amritai krishneti varnadvai. He says, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables Krishna have produced. Because when I utter Krishna, it is not simply an utterance. It dances on my tongue and there's so much nectar. I need to have millions of tongues to get that nectar. And then when those two syllables, Krishna, enter the holes of my ears, oh, there's so much nectar. I need millions and billions of years to capture at least a little fraction of that nectar. And then when that Krishna enters into the, when it dances in the courtyard of my heart, my mind is completely conquered and I'm stunned in a state of transcendental wonder. That's from the Vidagdha Madhava, Rupa Goswami. So, Prabhupada really wanted this verse. He gave it to George Harrison and told him to make a song out of it. I don't think George did. But it's a very, very powerful shloka. And it gives us some idea of actually what is there in those two syllables, Krishna. And we, if we analyze this verse and compare it with our own chanting, we, you know, give us a really good, it's a good reality check. It's a very good reality check. Study the verse and observe your own experience while you're chanting Hare Krishna. And we can be very humble. See, well, I got a long way to go. I got a long way to go. But actually, that long way can become reduced to insignificance. In due course of time, it'll disappear. That day will come when we'll achieve pure bhakti. So it's worth it. We should persevere day by day, week by week, month by month, even lifetime after lifetime, we're willing to persevere to achieve that supreme perfection of Krishna prema. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yes, Branko? Wait, I can't hear. Well, I can't. I'm so deaf; it's drowning out your hearing.
As you were talking about the story of the demons and Lord Shiva, I began wondering about the concept, the Vedic concept of Satan.
The concept of Satan. I'm missing most all of it. Okay, now that that's done, I have a better chance. So we have the concept of Satan, okay.
In the Vedic system, you have concept of demons.
Yeah.
But in the Western world, you have concept of Satan.
Yeah.
And I've been having a hard time finding this concept in the Vedic system.
Prabhupada mentions it in his purport. Satan is mentioned in Prabhupada. By Prabhupada himself mentions Satan. So the material energy, you could see the personality of Kali as Satan, for example. The satanic influence is there. It's the material energy. We have that concept. Maya Devi doesn't match the concept of Satan. Maya Devi is a pure devotee. She is like the warden of the prison. She's a loyal government servant. But she's not evil. Maya Devi is a pure devotee. Satan is the concept of an evil, wicked person. He matches the personality of Kali very nicely. Yes, Prabhu. That's right. Prabhupada does mention it, but there's no person, there's no competitor of God. And, you know, Satan and God are battling it out. There's no such thing. Krishna is completely in control. Everything's happening under his energy. Those who are fortunate, they are serving his spiritual energy. Those who are envious, they are serving his material energy. Yes. So in that sense, you're saying Satan would be a servant of Krishna?
But I'm just saying, both of these things,
huh?
It's not a need in the world. It's not a need. It's not a calling or trying to
be.
The whole material energy is arranged in such a way that we always have to make that choice. So we want to faithfully serve God, put God back in the center. Or do we want to go for it? This is more sport.
Yeah.
So that's more sport under my energy is control.
Yeah.
Yes, you want to worship.
Yeah.
I was thinking that the Western concept of escape is a complete concoction. And that's why you don't find it in the Vedas. It's just a concoction that there is this personality who is battling God for control of the entire creation. That's a concoction. There are little things.
Yeah, these are good points. Yeah, good points. So, we have to not be under the influence of the material energy. And to do that, we have to follow the injunctions of the scriptures. That's the key. Otherwise, we remain captivated by the material nature. Yeah? Yeah, the Vedas also, they're different. There is certain Purana. In other words, for low-class people, there are scriptures that tell them how to, in the Vedas, how to kill a goat in such a way that is in accordance with Vedic injunctions. So this is for low-class people to gradually elevate them. So the same thing in Islam, you see. It's a low-class religion for low-class people, actually. On some level, they can regulate their activities so that gradually they can come to pure bhakti in the future. It's not teaching pure bhakti. This killing animals is not within the realm of pure bhakti. It's in the realm of, pravritti marg and nivritti marg. Pravritti marg is increasing, is maintaining your material enjoyment. Nivritti marg is giving it up, you see. There are certain scriptures that are in the category of pravritti marg and certain in nivritti marg. Even within the Vedas, there is the pravritti marg, Bhagavatam, the Purana that tells Iksara Nagat, that's pravritti marg. So the Islamic scriptures, they're in the realm of pravritti marg. They're regulating you to give you the idea of bow down to God. So that's better than being an atheist. It's giving you some advancement, but it's not bringing you to pure bhakti. It's not going to do that. You can't come to pure bhakti while you're slaughtering animals, because the animals are very dear children of God. If I kill your child and eat him, can I have a loving relationship with you? If I kill your own children and eat them, and I say, I love my dear next door neighbor, I love you very much, and by the way, I had your kids for dinner tonight. You see? They really tasted good. If you want to love God, you can't kill his children and eat them. You see? It's a very low-class religion. Very, 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 very low-class. Lord Chaitanya had a debate with Chankazi. He totally defeated him. Chankazi gave up he became a follower of Lord Chaitanya. He's a big, big Muslim. He gave it up. He became a follower of Lord Chaitanya. Because Lord Chaitanya said, what kind of religion is this? You're killing your own mother. And he gave some argument. Lord Chaitanya defeated that argument, and he even gave up his attachment to Islam because he realized the superiority of Lord Chaitanya's movement. So Prabhupada in Iran, he did in Tehran, he appreciated the Muslim prayers, bowing down five times. And I also, I remember in the Delhi airport, they're right there in the airport, they do their prayers. That's nice. I appreciate that. they're not embarrassed to do their prayers, you see. I see devotees are sometimes embarrassed over their tilak in public, some devotees. But the Muslims, they're doing their prayers, just bowing down right on in the middle of the airport, on the terminal floor. The devotees are afraid to offer obeisances in the airport. Well, we don't want to look like we're a weird cult. But the Muslims are doing it. And I appreciate that they're doing their prayers anywhere. They're not embarrassed to do their prayers. I appreciate that. And Prabhupada appreciated it also. But at the same time, we have to see that this is not bringing them to pure bhakti. It's a step, but it's not, they can't, it's still in the realm of pravritti marg. They're not nivritti marg. To come to pure bhakti, nivritti marg, you have to give up material sense enjoyment completely. You see. And that requires a vegetarian diet of foodstuffs offered to the Lord. You see. Okay. Why don't we stop here, because breakfast is waiting, I think. And we thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Okay.